In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, until the ages of ages. Amen. The title of our topic tonight will be centered around the question, can our Lord Jesus Christ come back anytime, even tomorrow? Yes or no, and why? With this catchy question, and with the prayers of our Holy Fathers, Michael, Gregory, and Father Nicholas, and with your prayers, my brothers and sisters, we are opening our study, which will consist of three parts. The center of our study will be the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead, the renewal or regeneration of the universe, and somewhere along the line, we will expose the characteristics of the person of the Antichrist and his agents, his forerunners, and the false prophet. In this study, and every study that we should conduct as Orthodox Christians, we will be using as guides the Holy Scriptures and the Orthodox Church Fathers, past and present. Nothing subjective will be given, and nothing will be taught that is not in line with the teachings of our Orthodox Church. We will rely heavily on Saint Cyril of Jerusalem. Saint Cyril was the Bishop of Jerusalem at 350 AD. Saint Cyril fought for the faith, and around the 4th century and suffered greatly from the heretical Arians. One of his prominent works, which exists to this day, being a great treasure of the church, is the Catechism of Saint Cyril. There are 18 different catechisms that are based on the creed. Saint Cyril simply explains the creed of our church. He also finished 5 catechisms on the sacraments of our church. The value of this work is immeasurable because it once again shows that the authentic and Orthodox Church of Christ back then had 7 sacraments, divine liturgies, bishops, priests and deacons, incense, and beautiful silver-lined churches, as Saint Cyril tells us. 16 centuries later, our Eastern Orthodox Church is continuing in that holy tradition and teachings of our church fathers. My brothers and sisters, it's a great gift from God to be Orthodox. It's the greatest gift if we exercise it, if we activate our faith. The 15th catechism of Saint Cyril is instructing the catechumens or the new converts. Saint Cyril was teaching in Jerusalem, so there was a lot of people of the Judaic faith that were being converted to Christianity. Saint Cyril is teaching the new converts about the second coming of Christ. From this catechism, we get much insight about the early church. The new Christians had to be very knowledgeable in the scriptures. They had to know New and Old Testament. They were tested before they were able to be accepted in the faith. It is worthy to note that the new converts, after their illumination, after they were baptized, they would continue their studies because discipleship is an integral part of Christianity. We never stop learning about our faith. A great disciple of the Church Fathers and Saint Cyril in the country of Greece is the Reverend Archimandrite Father Athanasius Mytilineos, who has dedicated all his life in the interpretation of the Holy Scriptures based on the Church Fathers. He has done about 99% of the work for us. The only thing for us to do, and a little humble task, it remains to be done, is to translate about 5,000 cassettes from Greek to English. So he's instructing us that the purpose of these studies is not to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Antichrist, because we have no idea when he will be revealed, but for us to begin a general vigilance, sobriety, watchfulness, to be able to defend ourselves, not from the Antichrist per se, whom we may never see, but from the spirit of the Antichrist that's been around from the beginning. The forerunners of the Antichrist, St. John, in his epistle, says there have been many Antichrists. Many Antichrists from the past. The first Antichrist was Herod. He tried to kill Christ the minute he was born. Another one of the Antichrists was Judas, who betrayed him. And we will have many, many, many small, so to speak, Antichrists all through the centuries. And at the very end, we will have the ultimate Antichrist, who will not be the devil. The devil cannot incarnate. It will be a human being. It'll be a person that will have all the energy of Satan. It will be a human being. The devil does not have the ability to incarnate. That is only an attribute that our Creator has. The purpose of these studies is to be able to avoid the two extremes. We see two different extremes in our Christians. Number one, we have the Christians that don't even know that Christ is coming back. We have many Christians, Orthodox Christians, that have been baptized. They love Christmas. They celebrate Christmas. They exchange gifts, but are not caring or concerned or even interested or excited about the fact that Christ will be coming back as a judge this time. That's the one extreme. The other extreme is the type of phenomenon that we had about a year ago, with the Iraqi war, when phobias are beginning to take over the Christians. Who is the Antichrist, and what's going to happen, and the Armageddon, and this and that. And we know that anxiety, when we have a lot of anxiety and a lot of agony, the peace of the Holy Spirit is not in us. We have panic even within Orthodox circles. We have people in Greece that are supposed to be theologians that are writing books just on chapter 13 of Revelation, that Antichrist is born and he might be 16 years old, and he was already born in Jerusalem and this and that. And what happens, again, that instills a phobia into our Christians, which it is very harmful. The problem was always existing in the church about the Antichrist and the second coming of Christ. And the Spirit of God very early guided St. Paul to talk to the Thessalonians. They began to misinterpret the scriptures, some of them. They heard St. Paul telling their neighbors, the Philippians, that Philippians 4:5, the Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. Do not show much care for anything. They misinterpreted the scripture. So the Thessalonians gave up their work. They wouldn't go to their shops anymore. They wouldn't go to their farms. They would just walk around, visit each other, and talk about the coming of the Lord, which was going to be taking place a few days later. And St. Paul has to write to them. St. Paul writes to them about the second coming of our Lord. He wrote to them and instructed them, as we will see a little bit later, that you're not supposed to be anxious, but at the same time, do not fall asleep. St. Paul wanted the Thessalonians slightly concerned, but not anxious. This anxiety among Christians has been greatly abused by false prophets, false teachers, opportunists, for centuries, and especially today. As I mentioned earlier, a year ago, we saw a plethora of books come out, Armageddon, the Antichrist, the end is near, this, that, and personally, out of a general rule, I never looked at any of these books. I never study any of these books. I'm afraid that a false teaching might go into my subconscious. I avoid those. But a lot of people come up and tell me, Costa, what do you think of this book? Listen to this lady. And this lady here, just to read the outside, okay, bestseller. She's one of the most conservative ones. She's very conservative. This is what the book writes. One of the most astounding books of this generation, Colin Deal, author of bestseller, Christ Returns by 1988. I haven't seen him, have you? The dollar will be rendered utterly worthless probably within 3 years. I'm still using dollars, are you? So what happens when we do this type of thing? When we have false prophets, because these people in the Old Testament would have been stoned. You see, in the Old Testament, a false prophet was stoned because a false prophet, whether he is acting voluntarily or involuntarily, okay, he's deceiving people. What happens after this goes on and people have their heart set on this, when this does not materialize, people leave Christianity. They'll go to the New Age movement. They'll go to Buddhism. They'll go to the cults. Last year, $1 billion was spent on books on the occultic New Age movement in New Age shop. $1 billion. Most of them from Christians. I should say ex-Christians. So the whole idea here is to avoid confusion. We will use the church fathers and their wisdom to avoid confusion. Confusion about the second coming. Confusion about the resurrection. Confusion about the millennium or 1,000 years. Confusion about the first and second death. Confusion about the Antichrist. Confusion about tribulation versus wrath of God. Confusion about the taking up of the church, commonly called rapture by Protestant circles. Confusion and deception. A confused Christian is in great danger. Behind all this confusion are the enemies of the church, the victims of the devil, and the servants of the Antichrist. And behind the Antichrist is always the devil. The red beast of the Revelation, red is the color of blood. He is a liar and a man killer from the beginning. He got Cain to kill Abel to negate the salvational plan of God for mankind. He heard in the garden about the first gospel, the promise that he will bruise your heel and he will crush his head about. He was talking about Christ. He heard that and he figured if he would kill some of these children of Adam, he would negate the salvational plan of God. So we will shine the light of our church fathers to eliminate this confusion, to help us stand firm and make our faith unshakable. 1,000 antichrists will not affect close to Christ Christians. Once we stay close to Christ, the antichrist or the devil cannot touch us unless he is given permission by Christ, by God. After this brief introduction, we will now return to our opening question. Can Christ come back tomorrow? Yes or no? I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. Okay. Well, the theory of the pre-tribulation rapture, as taught by most of the evangelists, tells you that Christ can come back any minute, even tomorrow. I already gave you the answer. Okay. Unfortunately, many of our so-called Orthodox Christians rely on television, televangelists. It's so much easier to just turn on a set and sit back and take in some of the most treacherous teachings that ever crossed the path of Christianity. Let's uncover this doctrine called rapture that's being taught by most of Pentecostals today. A lot of so-called born-again Christians are teaching this. And in short, this is what this theory or their doctrine is talking about. We know that somewhere along the line, Christ is going to come back and take up the church. It's written in 1 Thessalonians. So this is what they're saying. And I should read quickly. Actually, we read this, these scriptures, we read them at our funeral services. You'll probably know them very well. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who sleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who sleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So here, St. Paul tells the Thessalonians that don't worry about, don't grieve, do not despair when somebody dies, because someday they're going to be raised again. They're going to take back their old bodies. God knows where every one of those molecules is. He will bring it back, put it together. Matter is neither created nor destroyed, according to the first or second law of thermodynamics. It was terrible in physics. I remember that one. Okay. So matter is not lost. Once God creates something, it can never go back. It's always created. It never goes back to zero. So here, St. Paul is saying that, yes, we who are still alive, because he's talking to the Thessalonians back then, assuming that Christ would come back, let's say, in our days, we will be taken up, airlifted, through the clouds to meet our Lord. Okay, and that's basically in the scriptures. Now, this is how they interpret it. They simply say that this is going to happen before the Antichrist. Christ is going to come back at any time, and it's going to pull the church up, and the saints will be pulled up in the heavens with Christ, and only the sinners, the Jews, the unbelievers, they are going to be left here on earth to fight the Antichrist. Is this true or not? Are we as Christians going to avoid the Antichrist? Or are we going, if assuming that he would come in our days, nobody knows. It could be another 5, 10, 20, 100, 200 years. Nobody really knows. Okay. The question is the church going to be here in those days or not? The Pentecostals and a lot of the people that hold to this doctrine say that the church will be pulled up. And this is what they use to substantiate their claims. They say that about 100 years ago, a lady was speaking in tongues. And while speaking in tongues, she all of a sudden came up with this theory. Pat Robertson himself testified to this on television. One of my Pentecostal friends told me that that is true, and a couple other people mentioned that to me as well. In the Pentecostal circles, there's a great fallacy. First of all, speaking in tongues, according to our Holy Orthodox Church, that is a gift. It's in the scriptures. But tongues means languages. In other words, back when the gospel was being taught, the apostles are going all over the world. They don't know. They are illiterate, basically. They don't know any kind of letters. So the Spirit of God, from time to time, would give them a gift to be able to speak in someone else's language just to be able to give some messages of the gospel to those people. In the last 1,700 years, we have no mentioning anywhere, at least I haven't found any, and some of the fathers that I've been asking, they have not seen any of our saints speaking in tongues for the last 15, 16, 1700 years. This new phenomenon just occurred about 100, 150 years ago with the movement of the Pentecostals, and according to our church, it has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. So they're claiming that they got this message. And here they have another fallacy that say that the devil cannot, this is in the Pentecostal circles now, they say that the devil cannot understand tongues. The devil can speak any tongue that was ever designed in this universe. He spoke the tongue of Eve thousands of years ago. He spoke Babylonian, Egyptian, Greek, every tongue in the world. His wisdom is incredible. He's been around for thousands and thousands of years. So that's a great fallacy. So let's see some of the scriptures that they use to, again, substantiate that kind of claim. They say that God did not appoint us to wrath, but to salvation. So they are equating wrath with tribulation. And there's a difference there. There's a difference between wrath and tribulation in the scriptures. They also use Revelation 3:10. The Lord is speaking to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. And the Lord says, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to those who live on the earth. In the ancient Greek, the word is not trial, it's actually temptation. I will keep you from this temptation that's going to come upon the whole world to those who live on the earth. And of course, as we mentioned a little earlier, they mentioned Thessalonians 2:7. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he's taken out of the way. Here they say that the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way along with the church. They're saying that during the time of the Antichrist, the Holy Spirit will leave the world. And they actually believe this. It's great inconsistencies. Why? Because they're saying that Christ will come back to just take up the church and leave the others behind. That introduces a third coming. We have two comings of Christ. The first one and the second one. The second one that he will judge the living and the dead. Now they're introducing one before that, 3.5 years before the Antichrist comes, they're introducing another coming, so that cannot be. In Revelation 3:10, he's talking to one of the bishops of Smyrna, and Christ is telling him that be faithful to the point of death. So there's inconsistencies. They're saying that I will keep you from the hour of tribulation, saying that In other words, you will not die, you will not be around. But Christ is telling another bishop in the same group of churches that be faithful even to the point of death. Unfortunately, outside of the Holy Orthodox Church, there are a lot of inconsistencies because people are trying to interpret the Bible by human intellect. At times, they even change the words of the Bible. This pre-tribulation rapture that says that Christ will pull up the church before the Antichrist was in the minds of the translators of the King James Version. They take the book of the Revelation chronologically. In other words, chapter 1 will happen before before chapter 3, chapter 5, before chapter 10. And the book of Revelation is a very difficult book. It's a very difficult book because it is a vision and it does not stay with the confines of time. Saint John is in ecstasy. He sees all these different pictures in heaven, and he looks at one and then returns to the other one and goes back to the last one, and it's basically going back and forth. So by trying to put these events in the book of Revelation chronologically, it is very difficult. There's dozens of different fallacies that we can find just by simply asking any type of Protestants on their beliefs on some of these teachings. About the Holy Spirit taken out of the way, not quite. The Holy Spirit is Lord. The Holy Spirit is God, so it is everywhere. The grace of God can be taken out of the way, which is an energy and not the substance of God. No, the Holy Spirit will be on earth strengthening the saints who will not bow down to the Antichrist. And now let's see some scriptures that definitely oppose this teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture. Revelation 7:13. John asks the angel, "Who are these clothed in white robes?" "These are they who are coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Revelation 13:7, "And the beast was allowed to make war on the saints and conquer them." No, my friends, the church will not be pulled up before the tribulation. It will be alive and well, and it will be producing new martyrs and saints. The great prophet Daniel agrees 100% in Daniel 7:21, Daniel 7:25, and 11:33. Even the King James translators seem to be confused a little bit about these teachings, and it's quite obvious in their attempt to make these theories fit. In Revelation 5:9 to 5:11, where they actually are changing some of the pronouns of the Greek text. The pronoun them, they change to us, and the pronoun they change to we. They're trying to make this pre-tribulation rapture fit, and especially the teaching of the 1,000 years, which teaches that we are supposed to be here on earth for 1,000 years after Christ comes. The famous millennium, which has nothing to do with 1,000 years on earth per se. We saw the deception of the devil behind all this, and unfortunately, most of Christianity today is deceived, ignoring the warnings of Saint Paul.